increase of your life by your word, by your spirit. We ask this morning that is revelation. Faith is getting our heart. Faith to walk in your word. It is not difficult to do that which you have said. It is not difficult to act on that which we see. We ask that together as a church this morning, with revelatory life filling our hearts, we'll see Jesus. Now to see Jesus, we'll see ourselves as a Jesus in Him, our identity, our possessions, our responsibilities will be clear. We ask that by your word, by your spirit, there is a nourishment of faith in our heart. Everyone, beyond our persuasions, beyond our opinions, beyond our experiences, beyond our thoughts and nuances, your word gains ascendancy over every thought, over every belief system. We ask that together as a church, we are built up together, even to honor and to esteem one another, as you have placed us in your church, and you have placed every one of us amongst one another. We will descend the body to the end that we're able to build strong and effective relationships, we're able to fulfill your plans and purposes with one another. This we ask and receive in the name of your Son Jesus Christ. Who church says, amen. Hallelujah. Said amen to soon. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're ready for the word. Matthew's gospel is our text. Matthew chapter 28. So I want to teach. Hallelujah. It's Sunday morning, right? Right. This is church service. Amen. Matthew's gospel. So am I the one giving that sound? Sounds like I'm the one giving the sound. Is it? So something. Are you ready for the word? Listen to the word. Don't hear it. Okay? Matthew's gospel quickly, everyone. I hope everyone is with their Bibles. And what? Bibles and what? Writing materials. If you don't come with writing materials, you are wrong. If you don't come with Bible, you are wrong. Are you going to cinema? Are we together? Church is not cinema. You go to cinema, you go to, what's that seminar? Cinema there, somewhere there in the city. Go to the mall, you sit down, then you get entertained. That means you expect to laugh, you expect to just while away time. You just want to catch cruise. But in the church service, we are here to worship God. Hallelujah. Are we together? Right. That means you don't have to feel the service because you are not the one being worshipped. Glory to God. Right. You know, but you have to be blessed in the service. So quickly, we have been looking at the subject of, associations, relationships, according to God's plan, how God wants us to see one another, and then it's to the end that we're able to discern God's plan through relationships, and also we'll build on that thought subject much more later on. Matthew's gospel, quickly. In chapter 28, verse 18, he says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Now, if you have your Bibles, you use your Bible. There's nobody that's going to project anything for you. This is not a shrine. Are we together? This is a church. In church, we don't project scriptures because you came with one, right? All right. But if we go to a crusade ground, we can project scriptures because we expect people to be there who are not believers. But we don't have unbelievers yet. Are we together? All right. Thank you. So look at that. Use your Bibles. Use your notebooks. So it says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." It says, "Go and teach all nations." So we said, teach there, like some of you have in your translations, to make disciples. So that is what we do in the church, or that is what the church does. God set up churches all over the world across different ages so that God, through the churches, can raise strong and effective followers or disciples of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You know, today, in a very colloquial term, we get into conversations and someone asks about your church. They ask, you know, we usually ask by saying, what church do you attend? Or you are a member of which church? You know, and that's fine. I mean, someone meets you and wants to find out about church, and the question is like, oh, you're a member of what church? And that's okay, that's all right. But if you go look into the Bible thoughts, the way to ask the question is actually, where are you being discipled? Are we together? Where are you being discipled? You know, if we ask that way, it's going to trigger seriousness in the faith more. Where are you being discipled? In which church are you being discipled? Because the work of the church, the local assembly, are we together? What we call the local church or the local assembly, the work of the local assembly is to build strong disciples. A strong disciple is somebody who is taught well in the word. Amen. That means you are not in any doubt whatsoever regarding the faith. You know, it's quite concerning that sometimes today you go out and then your interactions, you meet Christians, and sometimes you meet Christians who are not even able to explain the faith. You ask someone, he says, are you born again? The fellow says, yes. You say, why? He says, your name is Philip. How? There are many Philips in hell. Are we together? You're not born again because you were born into a Christian family. You're not born again because you have a Christian name or your name appears in the Bible. Are we together? There's also Judas in the Bible, and we know one of them is in hell. Are we together? You are not even a Christian because you are in the church service. You know, spending time in the garage does not turn me into a car. Are we together? So being in the church service is not what makes you a Christian. You're a Christian because you have believed in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have exercised faith in the saving work of our Lord and Christ Jesus. Are we together? You are a Christian because you now follow Jesus. Now, you cannot follow Jesus and on a Sunday morning you are in your room. So that's where church service is coming. Because Jesus says, where two or three people are gathered in my name, there I am. So if you're a follower of Jesus, you are present where he is. Jesus is not everywhere on the earth. That's why he says, where two or three people are gathered, there I am. Are we together? Are we together? He is present in the conversations again, and in the communities of men who have believed in his death and resurrection. So on a Sunday morning, Jesus is in the churches. So you cannot be a follower of Jesus and you are in your room on a Sunday morning. You are wrong. You are in the wrong place. Are we together? What if I'm, you know, reading my Bible and I'm praying and I'm live streaming the service? Well, Jesus is not there. Are we together? Yes, he's not there. He is in the congregation. He is in the gatherings. Glory to God forevermore. Right. So he says to go make disciples. And in looking at that, we are said that discipleship or Christian discipleship is communicating perspectives. We said God's perspectives. The fact that God says to go make disciples, or Jesus says to go make disciples, means you cannot do Christianity the way you feel like. He says to go and disciple people, so there is a way to do Christianity. Are we together? There is a way to express your faith in Christ. There is a way to live the Christian life. You cannot live it the way you think, you didn't feel. You cannot live it the way you feel. You cannot live it the way you think. If everybody were to worship God the way they feel, we will not have the Bible. Are we together? So the Bible was given to us so that we all can see things alike. And when we see things alike, it is natural that we are going to believe alike. We are going to behave alike. Then we are going to worship God alike. Glory to God forevermore. So he says, go and make disciples. Now, I'll say something later on, and I'll quickly pull it out from here now, because I don't want to come back to this text again today. So he says, go and teach all nations. And we said, teaching all nations, Jesus is already insinuating relationships. On Thursday, we took on that text, we looked at Matthew 1, we looked at Genesis chapter 5, we saw genealogy. And we said the occurrence of genealogy in scripture, genealogy is the mean, you're reading a portion of Bible, you come across, and this begat this, and that begat this, and that begat this. You know, in my earlier years of reading the Bible, it's still my earlier years anyway. Are we together? Yeah. But in my earlier years of reading the Bible, I used to skip the genealogy. Who has time? And so begat so. Okay, we know. And so begat so. And so lives also number of years. Sometimes you wonder, why are you... These are not important information. So they look like some informations in the Bible that are not really, really important. But no, Bible study has shown us that every information in the Bible is important, including the genealogy, including the number of years that those individuals lived that was recorded. The ones that were recorded is necessary. Are we together? Are we together? Alright, you just have to look at it and see why was it mentioned. Then you get your answer. But don't discard any portion of the scriptures. So Jesus is talking about relationships. Matthew 18 again. Quickly. I just say 1, 2, 3 things this morning and I'll close. We have Bible seminar by 1 p.m. Matthew's Gospel 18. He says in 18, verse 15, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, right? So he calls thee, Tavi, right? I get responsible. He calls thee, right? All right. Picking up from last week, okay? So he calls it. He says, go and tell him his what? For he says, between you and him, what? Alone. Don't forget, Jesus is a master of what? Relationships. All right. So he says, if he shall hear you, thou hast gained thy brother. So there's something about relationships that to build or restore relationships, look at it. Jesus says, go to him. In other words, to build and restore relationships, we must learn to take initiatives. So always take the initiative. Be the one to take what? The initiative. Is that clear? Is that clear? Alright. Jesus says, go to him. That means you will take what? The initiative. You will take the initiative. Are we together, church? Now, I see some things this morning. Where do we start? Yeah. Okay. Look at Matthew 19. Let's start from there. Don't forget how we got into Matthew 19, right? You know, we tracked it back to 18, right? Good. How many of you went through it at home? All right. Thank you. That's beautiful. So it says in 19. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, which sayings? Which sayings? Huh? Which sayings? Sorry? Boo, that's what I'm hearing. Which sayings? Eh? No, I don't have whiskers in my ears. Which sayings? The teaching in 18, so I should read 18. Which sayings? What is the teaching in 18? Should I call people? I will catch us one day. One day, one Sunday, I'll just have time. I'm sorry. Which teachings? Forgiveness? Love work? Reconciliation? What else? Relationships. Okay. All right. Thank you. So he says, when he had finished these sayings, Bible of Galilee came into Jordan, coast of Syria. Great multitude followed him and healed them. The Pharisees also came unto him. So they had the teaching. The location had changed though, but their mind did not, their mindset did not change. One, they still had it in mind. They said, when you see him, remind me when you see him, when we see him, we ask him. who is there tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for what? Any cause, right? He said, every cause there means any cause. That's divorce, isn't it? Isn't it? So he said, Jesus answered the question. He says, have you not read? He says that he which made them at the beginning made them male and what? Female. And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and the twain shall be one flesh. I told you, one flesh there means one entity. One flesh. He says, wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. So I ask you, what God has joined together, does it refer to marriage or man being in relationship with one another? It is not referring to marriage. Are we together? We saw that very clearly, right? Alright. Don't miss midweek services. You are going to have knowledge. Alright. Okay. So, we said, God institutes relationships. God uses men. God walks through relationships. We said that. When I got into a thought, we said, Jesus is fixing a relationship issue. Jesus is healing a relationship issue. In restoring a relationship issue, he says, have you not read? Now, when Jesus said, have you not read? Don't forget, he was saying that to the Pharisees. The Pharisees that have written, or must have written, theses. Now, maybe if you get out of service, you could check this online. The qualifications of being a Pharisee. Now, in those days, to be a Pharisee, usually, in those days, I said that on Thursday though, but I wanted to add this, that in those days, a Pharisee, usually, to show you how deliberate and detailed a Pharisee is with the scriptures, especially the books of Moses, in the dressings of a Pharisee, the garments that they wore, their uniforms, because they had this attire, you know, in those days. The uniforms or the attire that they wore in those days, the Pharisee is described as a teacher of the law. The teacher, not a law as in a law school. I'm talking about the word of God. They are teachers of the scriptures. So they usually have this attire, this mode of dressing, so that you can see from afar. That is a Pharisee. Because usually it's cool also. There's a sect in Israel called the Pharisees. There's also Sadducees and all that. So, but in the dressing of the Pharisee, they usually have a box embedded in the dressing. It's usually tied to the side of their clothing. It's a tiny box. Now, that tiny box is usually called phylactery. A phylactery. Now, the phylactery usually contains in it snippets or jottings or scriptings of the entire five books of Moses. So that as they are moving about, they are dipping their hands and what? Reading it. So at the end of the day, a Pharisee, like I said on Thursday, is somebody who is well read. I even told you that to qualify as a Pharisee, you have to know the entire five books of Moses. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. You have to know it offhand. It's a Bible school. Offhand. I mean, you'll be able to quote it offhand before you are qualified as a Pharisee in those days. So Jesus, in addressing the Pharisees, now said, have you not read? Have you not read? Well, it would imply that whatever training the Pharisee had, Jesus gave himself to more training. And that's one thing about a disciple of Jesus. You can't be clueless with the Bible. You are not a disciple. You can't be clueless. You can't be clueless. Someone is saying, you were saying this, but the Bible said this, but I don't know where it is in the Bible. It's somewhere in the Bible. Someone had told me before, a very long time ago, that the Bible says heaven helps those who help themselves. The Bible says, heaven helps those who help themselves. And well, the kind of conversation it was, I couldn't say, no, sir, the Bible did not say that. I just said, amen. How dare you say the Bible doesn't say that? Now, African parents, I have to just, amen. See, even the Bible says, heaven helps those who help themselves. But the Bible says contrary. God helps those who could not what? Help themselves. Are we together? That is why Jesus, to help those who could not help themselves. So the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say heaven help those who help themselves. You said it, or your Bible. Amen? So look at that. You have to be knowledgeable in the scriptures. So Jesus said, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? In other words, Jesus is quoting or referencing a text in Genesis. We went there on Thursday. A text in Genesis, precisely Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 thereabout. So we said Jesus is resolving a relationship challenge. Divorce, according to the text. Jesus is resolving relationship challenge. And in fixing relationship challenge, Jesus takes their mind to Genesis. If you read a little bit further in that Matthew 19, they said unto him in verse 7, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement to put her away? Deuteronomy 24, right? Now in verse 8, Jesus now responded to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, allowed you, epitrepo, that is, he suffered you, he allowed you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. So don't forget, we said that as a Christian, your own heart desire must always be, what does God what? Want? Don't fall into the trap of what God permits you to do. You are going to get into trouble. There is a whole lot of things that God can permit you to do, but that is not what he wants you to do. Whatever they said here, why did Moses then command? By saying that Moses commanded that the man should give a bill of divorce, that is, divorce letter to the wife. Why did Moses command? They were quoting Deuteronomy 24. And that means that someone in Israel could just divorce his wife, and you go to him and say, why did you do that? He said, it's in the word of God now. Jesus now explained that Moses had to do that because you were stubborn. That is not God's intention. So there are things that God can permit you to do, but that is not his intention. You are stubborn. But since he does not force his will, he does not violate your will, he has no choice. He will have to allow you do it, but you are going to face the consequences. Because you have chosen not to do things the way you want. So the man who is with the Spirit of God is desirous of what God wants. The Christian. The life of a Christian, the question of the Christian, the mindfulness of the Christian, the heart desire of the believer in Christ is, what does God want? I told you last session that, you know, Kenneth Hagin, a man that I respect a lot, Kenneth Hagin said that that is God's perfect will. So he taught the concept of God's perfect will, God's permissive will. He says, no, we shouldn't get into God's permissive will. It looks as though you have an option, but it's actually not an option, because it is not God's desire. It looks like an option to you because you have a stubborn heart. Say, I don't have a stubborn heart. Now, notice that Jesus made this statement in the light of relationships. That means God is interested in your relationships, in how they are formed, in how they are handled, in how they are kept, in the things you do in your associations, relating with one another. God is interested. Say what I said again. God walks through men, and he walks through relationships. Praise the Lord. So a Christian man or a Christian woman does not despise relationships. The Christian man or woman also does not neglect relationships generally. Now, I'm not saying get into relationship with everybody. No. But God works through relationships. And God wants us to build strong and effective what? Associations and relationships. So Jesus is fixing, you know, a relationship question, answering a relationship question, fixing relationship issue, strengthening relationships, healing relationships, restoring relationships, fixing relationship challenge, restoring relationships, building relationships, teaching relationships, fixing relationships. He takes us into the Genesis 1. Look at it again. He says, have you not read? They came to him with a question on marriage. He does not answer immediately about marriage. In restoring a marital relationship, or in healing the challenge of that marital relationship, he takes them to the Genesis 1:26 text. So we said, the Genesis 1 text is a background for relationships. From that standpoint, we can now see how each and every kind of relationship should be handled. Are we together, church? Genesis 1, quickly. Genesis 1, in verse 27, which is where he quoted in Matthew 19, verse 3, 4, 5, verse 5. He says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God created he him. We said the word him them should have been better translated as what? Them. Thank you. Then it is male and female created what? He what? Them. Now look at verse 28. It says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth. He says, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every creeping thing that creep upon, move upon the earth. Now obviously, verse 27 was directly referenced, but I told you that verse 27 has a background, right? Right? And the background is not verse 25. The background is verse 26. In 25, he talks about the animals, the beasts of the earth. He says the cattle, every creeping thing upon the earth after his kind, God said it was good. So in 26, so verse 26, verse 27, verse 28, are we together? Is together. So if he said, have you not read, he that created and made them male and female, we said he's using the codified concept to refer to a thought, not a verse, a thought. So what is the thought? The thought will be verse 26. So he said, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, let them have dominion. So man is a them. Are we together? Are we together? Let them have dominion. Man is a them. So the man here should be mankind, not the male gender. Are we together? So let us make mankind in our image. So it shows you that the image of God is a corporate terminology. The image of God is not an individual terminology. I know you say that, oh, I'm beautifully and wonderfully made. God has made me in his image. Okay, that's fine. But hey, look into your Bible. Are we together? Humanity is wonderfully and what? Beautifully made. God created humanity to function in his what? In his image. Are we together? Are we together? Humanity. So, a whole lot of your study should extend to what? Humanity. And not what? Myself. Myself. So you don't start selling fish. Hallelujah. Selfish. See, I'm not selfish. So look at 26 again. And God said, let us make man in our image. Now notice verse 26 is an intention. Let us make man in our image, and after our likeness, and let them have dominion. So let me ask a question. If man is in the image of God, in the likeness of God, are we together? The move. If man is in the image of God. Now, I explained image to us, right? Selem, right? And I said, Selem is from which word? Salmu. Spell it. spell Samu, T-S-A-M-U, right? So I explained the Samu to you, isn't it? Isn't it? Now, what did we arrive at explaining Samu? We said it's an image, right? Right? But it's not a static what? Image. It's a functional what? Image. A functional identity. The Samu functions. It's an activity. So man, being in the image of God, is an activity. Man created in God's image is not to explain how maybe our what's it now? Our complexion. Now that is, we will know God's complexion or our complexion? No. Are we together? Are we together? The image of God does not refer to the way man looks. It refers to what man will do. Are we together? It's a functional identity. It doesn't refer to the way man looks. The way man looks. The way man looks. Look at our height, for example. Look at the different heights. You see some people, they are Goliath of Zion. If you don't understand what that means, don't worry. A Goliath of Zion. And the other ones, I'm not smiting everybody. I'm not smiting everybody. Are we together? So, God's image cannot be our physical appearance. Look at our complexion. You see some people is black and shy. Now, you now see some people is white. This one is beyond white. Trying to tell you that, hey, what happened to their melanin? Maybe as God was forming them, maybe, you know, God just, you know, I don't know, you know, God just felt, no melanin, no melanin, no melanin. Or maybe God said, I'll bring melanin tomorrow, and he forgot, and you, or you rushed out of heaven. And then, they say, wait now, don't go to the earth yet. Ah, sorry, I've left. Ah, let me come back, sir. You can't come back. Leave the earth that way. Ah, but my skin is white. That way. Are we together? Are we together? So, God's image couldn't be seen in our complexion. Are we together? Or our physique. So God's image, the word Selem, is a function, the functional identity. So with a man, has a functional identity. It's a function. That function is his identity. That is his purpose. God is creating man. What will this man do? Why are we creating him? Let us make man in what? Our image. So man was created to function. Yes, we can say in God's image, but I will say as God's image. Man was created to function as God's image on the earth. Are we together? That's the Talmud. An image. A representation. Not a replacement. A representation. So man, humanity, was created to represent God on the earth. To function. So if he says, let him have dominion, or let them have dominion, I will ask the question, whose dominion will that be? Will that be God's dominion? Let us make man in our image and our likeness. That is, let us make man to function in my stead on the earth. He will have dominion. So whose dominion is man exercising? God's dominion. Right? Good. So keep that somewhere. Now look at this. In Genesis there, go forward a little bit. Notice something. Look at Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy 4. So if, don't forget my explanation on Samu. If man is God's image, Where will or what will the temple be? Is the Tamu present in the temple? Thank you. So, what will the temple be? The temple will be what? Yes, right? Right? Have I explained it to you already? So why are you not giving me back? So the earth will function as what? The temple. Right? So in the temple, there will be an image. Right? Right? So what will the image be? The image of a supernatural being. Tamu, right? So who is that supernatural being? In our case, who is the supernatural being? God. Who is his image? Man. A man or humanity? Humanity. So the earth will function as what? The temple. Did you see that? So God will function in the temple through the what? The image. Don't forget we said the earth being the temple will refer to humanity, right? Right? Because that's the significance of the earth, humanity. So you can say the earth is the temple. You can also say humanity is the temple. Fine. Amen. But God has created humanity to function as his what? Image. We'll look at some things and then quite interesting. Look at it. In Deuteronomy 4, see something there. Deuteronomy 4. In verse 18. Deuteronomy 4, 18. Verse 18. In fact, might not be able to read all because of our time. But if you look at verse 18, look at it. It says, the likeness of what? Everything that creepeth on the ground, pay attention. The likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. I read in Genesis 1:26. Look at 17. The likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air. Are we looking at Genesis 1:26? Are we having flashes rather of Genesis 1:26? Thank you. Now, what exactly are we reading? Look at something. Look at verse 14. Or verse I'm actually supposed to read from verse 1 to 18. No, because of our time. Or maybe I can run through it. No, I don't want to run through it because of our time. Now, look at verse. Look at verse 8. It says, and what nation is there so great? We can even read together. Read it together. Look at verse 1. Let's read verse 1 together. Want to go? Now, therefore, oh Israel. Are we all reading? Everybody? Right? Deuteronomy 4, verse 1. Everybody? Want to go? Okay? Okay? For to do them, that ye may, let's go on, and go in and possess the land where the Lord thy God of your fathers giveth thee. Verse 2, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Verse 3, your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor. For all the men that followed Baal-peor, the Lord thy God had destroyed them from among you. But you that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Can we take 6? Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear the statutes, and say, surely this nation is great and wise and understanding people. Verse 7. For what nation is there so great who had God so nigh unto them? Who had God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for. You see that? So it says in verse 8, and what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I said before you today? So it shows you that the word of God makes the people of God distinct from the world. The word of God distinguishes you. Don't forget, Jesus will now say, go and make disciples. Now let's read verse 9. So he warns them in verse 9. Let's look at the warning. Only take it to yourself and keep your soul diligently. Okay, what is the keeping? What is the keeping? Lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach. So when he says, look at this, when he says, take it to yourself, is he referring to discipleship? Is that what you just read? Read that text again. Only take it to yourself and keep your soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and let that depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons, and what? So is that a generational discipleship? Thank you. Look at verse 10. Especially the day that, can we all read? If you at the back are not reading, can we all read? Want to go? I don't read it. They may teach their children. Are we together? Look at 11. Okay. So he's explaining the Exodus to them. Verse 12. Look at that again. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of what? Of the fire. You had the voice of the words, but saw no what? Similitude. Only you had the what? Voice. Now that word similitude is the same word image. You saw no image, but you had the words. Now what is the significance of that? Look at verse 13. And he declared unto you his what? Covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even the Ten Commandments. So did God give the Ten Commandments? Did God give the Ten Commandments? You know, the reason I say it's not God, it's Moses. Did God give the Ten Commandments? Yes. So he says, and the Lord spoke unto you in the midst of the fire. You had a voice. You know, it's not a similitude, only you had a voice. He said, and he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform. Read on. Even the Ten Commandments, and he wrote them upon two tables of wood or stone. Can we take 14 together? So was Moses discipling the people? Look at 15. Take ye therefore good heed unto all yourselves. Look at this. Read slowly. For you saw no manner of what? Similitude on the day that the Lord spoke unto you in Horeb out of the midst of what? Fire. 16. Lest you corrupt yourself and make you what? Okay. 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 So by saying take it, so he is warning them. Now is this idol worship? That is, don't make any image in the likeness of now. What is man used to? Man can only make an image after what he is used to. So he says, the fowls of the air. Are we together? He says, whatever is on the earth, beasts, animals. He says, even in the sea. He says, take it to yourself that you don't start making graven images. Why? Because even when the Lord your God spoke to you in Horeb, out of fire, you had him, so he was there, but you did not see any what? Image. To show you that God is intentional of you not building any image. So he made sure they did not see him. Are we together? They didn't see any figure.
Because the people he's referring to were idol worshiping in their mind. See, these people have been in Egypt for how many years? 430 years. So they were used to idol worship. A supernatural being, then they make image after the supernatural being, then they start worshiping. So God says no. Now look at something. He said in verse 19, "And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun," alright, "and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole world, heaven." That is, the sun and the moon is common to every nation. Look at 20. "But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of what? Inheritance, as you are this day. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, and so that I should not go over Jordan, and that I should not go into that good land, which the Lord thy God giveth for inheritance, but I must die in this land, and I must not go over Jordan, but you shall go over to possess the good land. Take it unto yourself, lest you forget the covenant Lord your God, it is which he made with you, and make you what? A graven image, or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God had what? Forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God." He says, "When thou shalt beget children and children's children, you shall have remained in the land, and shall corrupt yourself, and make a graven image or likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God, and provoke him to anger. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that you shall soon utterly perish, from the land whereunto you go down." Definitely, if they get into idol worship, like other nations, they are not going to see God's supernatural intervention. Other nations are going to come against them, and they are going to wipe them off. So he wasn't talking about the anger of God to remove his own people. I put together, that would be a mood switch. Amen? But he's talking about you are going to be susceptible and vulnerable to destructions by other nations because you have turned your back against God by worshipping the same things that they worship. Are we together? You must understand that the world that Moses was writing to was a world that was entrenched in what we call supernatural warfare. Behind the warfare in those worlds were intervention of supernatural beings. Are we together? If you are reading the Old Testament book, you know that behind their walls were interventions of supernatural beings. They believed in supernatural beings going to war with them, and they served all of those supernatural beings. They worshipped them. But God is saying, "I am the Lord your God. So you will not make an image after the things that you see." Are we together? That's to show you that in the worship of God, amen, in the worship of God, yeah, later on you now see Israel build temple, amen, which will now mirror, a tabernacle where God will dwell and things like that. But you observe that in the worship of God, God gave them no image. Why? Because they are the image. Are we together? So for man to worship an image will be man functioning less than man. Man will be functioning less than man. So God did not give them any image. And to show you that God was intentional, a teaching now comes concerning no image. Because Moses understood, now people have been used to images. In Egypt had over 400 gods that they worshipped. And each of these gods had images. Hardly had they come out of Egypt, they built a calf. Are we together? Don't forget Aaron. He now erected a calf with their earrings. And they worship. So these guys had been taught all their life, they are known to worship gods, demons. Are we together? So God is saying, "You worship me alone. And in worshiping me alone, I will now bring forth my interventions amongst you with yourselves." So you guys are the ones that will mirror me amongst yourselves. So no image. I am the supernatural being. You are my image. So no image. Now the image in that world is a representation of the supernatural being through which the supernatural being functions. So God is saying, I am going to function with Israel. Are we together? Are we together? Or I am going to function toward Israel using who? Using who? Using who? Israel. I am going to function amongst my people using my people. I am going to function. Are we together? I am going to intervene amongst my people. The supernatural intervention that my people seeks, it will come from me, but I will use them themselves. So no image. Are we together? In the worship of God, no image. Obviously, if they were to build image, they will erect a temple. They will now put the image in the temple. But it says no image. That's why when they built the temple, they didn't put any image inside. That is God showing that humanity is my temple. Are we together? I am the supernatural being among them. I am their God. Humanity is my temple. I am their God. They will function with each other as my image. Now, if God had said that in Genesis 1, Moses recording that in Genesis 1, don't forget that the audience of Genesis 1 teaching was who? Israel. Israel was the audience of Moses, as it's taught. Now, look at this. If God says that, am I too fast? If God says that in Genesis 1, he says, let us make humanity in our what? In our image, after our likeness. That will show you that the object of Genesis 1 statement, let us make man in our image, the object of that statement is not Israel. Pay attention. The object of that statement is what? The whole humanity. But God is picking Israel. Are we together? To model it. Amen? Amen? God is picking what? Israel to model it. The plan of God will be for what? All humanity. But God starts that plan with who? Israel. Are we together? Don't forget, who is teaching in Genesis 1? Answer me. Moses. Who is Moses teaching? Israel. That is coming out of what? Egypt, right? So God is showing Israel God's plan for the whole world, yes, and is helping Israel to see that God is coming to start with them. Are we together? Why can't God just use your word at once? Well, if you follow Genesis 1, Genesis 2, if you read into Genesis 10, by Genesis chapter 10 and 11, you already see that by Genesis 11, the whole earth has been immersed into what? Idol worship. So God comes around and scatters their language. Are we together? So at Genesis 11, the whole world did what? Dispersed. So God revisits Abraham in Genesis 12 and said, in you all the nations of the earth shall be what? One. That's the word blessed. They shall be one. So God's plan for the earth is what God restarted with Abraham. Are we together? Are we together? So if you go down the line, I'm assuming you read your Bibles. So if you go down the line, you see Israel as descendants of Abraham. If you look at Genesis 15 itself, Genesis 15, by Genesis 15, God spoke to Israel, Abraham rather, about his descendants. In Genesis 15, I don't like the way some people are looking at me, like they have never read the Bible. Look at that text, quickly. Genesis 15. You have never read the Bible before. Genesis 15. Are we all there? Look at verse 1, everyone. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy God, I am thy shield, rather, and see the great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, without giving me sin, I go childless, and see what of my other laser of Damascus. And Abraham said, behold, to me that has given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thine heir. 5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven, tell the stars, if able to number them. He said, and he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and the Lord counted him for righteousness. Are we together? Now, look at verse 10. And he took him, who is he? God, who is him? Abraham. So God took Abraham, are we together? Are we together? And he took unto him all this, are we together? And divided them in the midst. Sorry. Look at verse 8. And he said, Lord God, where shall I know and that I shall inherit him? And he said unto him, take an ephah of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and all that. Then he took it unto him. So Abraham took it unto God, and divided them in the midst, and laid it peace, he says, one against another, but the bread divided it not. Verse 11. And when the fowls came down upon the carcass, Abraham drove them away. Now look at 12. And when the sun was going down, it was a deep sleep. Now, have we read deep sleep in Genesis? Upon who? Adam. I told you deep sleep is a what? A vision. Alright. So, it says a deep sleep fell on who? Fell on who? Abraham. And lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. The horror of great darkness has to do with what he saw. Is it clear? Alright. So look at verse 13. And he said unto Abraham, so there was a sight and there was a sound in that supernatural encounter. Amen? He saw and then he heard. So look at this. He says, and he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that your seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. So God showed Abraham concerning Israel before time. Are we together? Now look at what happened. And also that nation whom they shall serve. What is that nation now? Is that Egypt? Okay. That they shall serve. Will I what? Judge. And afterward, shall they come out with great what? Substance. Did that happen to Israel? That happened to Israel. Where will we read that? Exodus. Okay. So, look at this. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall come either again, for the iniquity of the world, Amorite, is not yet full. Now look at verse 17. And it shall come to pass that when the sun went down, it says, it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace. It is, and the burning lamp passed upon him and all that. So we saw he had a vision concerning his descendants in a place where they will be in captivity, but God says, I will do what? I will deliver them. Did you see that? Now, if you back up quickly to, or go forward rather, to Exodus quickly. Exodus 3. Exodus 3. Don't you know, bring your Bible by your side, tap the person. Exodus chapter 3. I didn't say box the person. I said, we don't know the meaning of tap. Just, praise God. It's passion. Exodus 3. Verse 1. Once you go, Moses carried the flock of his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and the little flock. He said, at the backside of desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Okay, read on. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, while the bush is not burned. Verse 4, everyone. And when the Lord saw, he turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush. He says, and said, Moses, and he said, yeah, and he said, draw not that heed, and put off your shoes of thy feet, for the place where thou standest is the holy ground. Moreover, he said, I have the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look. Why will God say, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Because there's something he started with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that is visiting Moses with. So in that encounter, he wants Moses to remember the work of his father Abraham, Isaac and Jacob with God. So when God comes to him and says, I am the God of Abraham, he wants Moses to remember Abraham. Because there's something God has started with Abraham that God is revisiting through Moses. Are we together? Read on. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. Is that what he told Abraham that will happen? Answer, yes or no? Answer, yes or no? Alright. He says, and I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. Can we take it together, everybody wants to go? I am come down to deliver them out of the land of Egypt, and to bring them unto the land of good land and the large, unto the land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaan and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Verse 9, everyone. Now therefore, behold, the cry of Israel is come unto me, and I have seen their oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of what? Egypt. Did you see that? Then the conversation started. So, God revisits Moses with what he promised to Abraham. So, without the promise to Abraham, he had nothing to do with Moses. Are we together? If he comes to Moses, he revisits Moses to fulfill his word to Abraham. Are we together? Now, don't be captivated with Israel alone. What is his word to Abraham? Before Abraham now responded, before he now spoke about his seed, he says, in you all the nations of what? Of the earth. Are we together? All the nations of the earth. So God's original intention is that what he will do will cut across what? All nations. But he picked Abraham, right? He will now perpetuate his plan through the lineage of Abraham. The lineage of Abraham is what we now call Israel. Notice that Israel was Jacob's name. Are we together? Notice that Israel was what? Jacob's name. So you have Isaac, Abraham rather. You have Abraham's son what? Isaac. You now have Isaac's son, which is called what? Israel. Jacob. Israel. So the children of Israel is the seed of Abraham. So God will commence the plan for the whole world using what? Israel. So whatever we see that God does with Israel will show us what God wants to do what? All over the earth. You can now see why God was very particular about that nation. That means if God created humanity to function in his image, Israel is now come to demonstrate that image amongst the nations. So don't let anyone tell you that Christianity is white man's religion. I think that's one of the most foolish things I've had in the last century, in the last decade. Are we together? God's plan is for what? All the earth. Is it clear? Is it clear? God went to Egypt to bring his son. Is Egypt in a white man's place? Eh? Egypt is just there behind us. It's just there behind us. Before England was formed, Egypt is there. God did his work in Africa. Are we together? Is that my white man's religion? Is the work of God in all the earth, Christianity. Jesus said, go into all the world. How is this white man's religion? White man's religion. Who is the white man? Are we together? Philip got the Ethiopian Enoch. Ethiopia is Africa. In Acts 8. Are we together? Are we together? Uh-huh. So look at that. He says, so God's work has been on this African soil since Ezekiel. Uh-huh. Alright. So look at this. He says, let us make man in our image. God will perpetrate that plan through Israel also. But let's leave Israel by the side now. God's plan for the earth. So look at it. You now see when Israel is worshipping God and build the tabernacle, amen, God will now instruct Israel, know what? image. Did you see that? No image. Because Israel will first function as the image of God, therefore, and spread that plan, understanding, into all the world. Does that make sense to you? I've summarized a whole lot of things. Does that make sense to you? Alright. So, Israel will first function as God's image. Israel. But, whatever God's plan is, he says no image. Because man will be that what? Image. Amen? He makes man his image. God makes man his image. Follow me, shortly. So, man is meant to represent him. You and I, we are meant to represent God on the earth. That means we will see his characteristics. We will mirror it. Man is meant to function. That is the purpose behind the creation of man. To function as God's image. To mirror the Father. Notice that when Jesus taught in Matthew 5, he kept on saying that you may be the children of your Father. That you may be the children of your Father. That's why I told you that in Christ, that image ideology is corrected. The whole world that is immersed in idol worship cannot function in the image of God. Are we together? It takes a people who are taught of God to understand who they are, to now function who they are, in who they are. So in Christ, that ideology is corrected, is set alight in Christ. So humanity is set alight in Christ. Without being in Christ and learning about him, you don't know who you are. You are confused. A man who is not born again and is not growing in the word of God is a confused man. Is a confused man. So Jesus came and said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in what? Confusion. Shall not walk in darkness. He shall have the light of life. So any man who is not born again, are we together? Is dwelling inside confusion. So now that you are born again, you now need to learn the reality of salvation so that you can manifest what you have been brought into. Light. So those who heed his teachings, he not only said, I am the light of the world. At another time, he now came and says, you are what? The light of the world. He said, you are the salt of the earth. So the man who is not in Christ, are we together? Will not function in the image of God. Because that ideology of God's image is corrected in Christ. Man outside Christ is in the bondage of sin. Man outside Christ cannot function as God's image. But man was created to function in God's image. So how will God restore humanity to fulfill his rightful function? To take his rightful place? Christ Jesus came. So the coming of Jesus is to restore humanity into his rightful place so that man can begin to function in the Genesis 1:26 intention. So a man who is not born again is in confusion. He is acting less than God's man. What is God's man? God's image. God's man is God's image. God's man is man functioning in what? God's image. Or functioning as God's image. God's own man is the man that demonstrates manifesting. God's own man is the man that does what? Reflects him. God's own man. Man that is in God's intention is man reflecting God. So when I cannot reflect God, or I am not reflecting God, I'm functioning less than man. I'm functioning lesser than what God created me to function. I am underperforming, under capacity. Does that make sense to you? 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 So man was created to function on God's behalf on the earth. On the earth, God created humanity to function as his image. I'm saying the same thing. To function as his image. The image of God is man's functional identity. Man's functional identity. Are we together? So look at this. If someone like Paul now comes around in Romans 3 and says, all have sinned. He now explains sin. He says, I've come short of the what? Of the fullness, the glory, the intention of God. Did you see that? So sin is acting beneath God's plan for man. That is the origin of all sins. Not functioning as his image at that spot, in that scenario. That is sin. That is sin. To function lesser than what God designed to be your function. That is sin. Come short of his glory. To function lesser. To function lesser. So the functional identity of man is that man will be the image of God. Are we together? Man will represent God. Represent God. It's a personal, it's not a personal identity, it's a corporate identity, like I said. In Genesis 1:26, therefore, and 27, Genesis 1:26-27, he says, have dominion over every creeping thing. 27. So God created man in his image. The image of God created him. Male and female. He says created in them. So 27 talks about the final fulfillment of 26. Final fulfillment of 26. Pay attention. The final fulfillment. That is, 26 is intention. And Moses showed us that intention was eventually what? Fulfilled. Are we together? Are we together? Or is eventually fulfilled? Or will eventually be fulfilled? Moses shows us that. So man, God created man rather, to be a physical manifestation of himself. To who or to what? I told you. To what? To what? A physical manifestation of himself to who? You have to manifest something to something, right? So it's a physical manifestation of God to who? Oh, I told you, to the earth, right? Right? We see that. Then I told you what? To supernatural beings. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? You see that? But I also told you to man too. A physical representation of God to a fellow man. Don't forget, it was this text that Jesus used to fix what? Relationship issues. Man representing God before what? Another man. Are we together? Man reflecting God. Manifesting. Man reflecting. That is why you observe that let them have dominion over this, over this, over this. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fish of the sea, the fowls of the air, the beasts of the field, every creeping thing that moves on the surface of the earth. Man was not mentioned in the list of what man will have dominion over. Man was not mentioned. So man having dominion over another man is sin. See, this is the origins of warfare in the scriptures. Man now visiting another man with terror for the sake of dominating. It is not God's plan. Did you get it? It is not God's plan. It is not God's plan. So, man visiting fellow man with evil is not God's plan. Man denying another man resources so as to dominate is not God's plan. Man using the tools, the things on the earth, as an advantage over a fellow man for the sake of dominating that man is not what? God's plan. So, the knowledge of scientific inventions that leads to, you know, technology that now leads to warfare, you know, military strength and all of that was not God's what? God's intention for man. Are we together? Are we together? Alright. Don't worry, there's a whole lot to pick up from Genesis. So look at this. Male and female, he said he created them, right? 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 So male and female will function as his image. Male and female. So notice that the male is not meant to dominate the female. It is not in God's plan. And the female man is not meant to dominate what? The male. Now, look at this. Let's back up a bit. We said, man is not on the list of what man should dominate, right? In Genesis 1:26. But is that happening today? Is man dominating man today? Yes. Good. Are there instances where man is dominating woman? Now, I'm not even talking about as wife. I mean dominating. There are societies that are patriarchal. There are some religions that are patriarchal. When men are talking, you don't know their fame. There are some cultures that you can't see their women around. You can't see them around. Everywhere you go to is men. The women are hidden somewhere in the cave. In fact, notice Moses was teaching Israel. Right? Right? Can I get a Sunday this morning? Or we want to pray for another one? Are we together? Can I get a Sunday this morning? Notice that. Now, look at this. Answer this question. Between Genesis and Exodus, which one was the reason for which? Notice that the book of Genesis is actually Moses teaching to Israel in Exodus. The book of Genesis gives the background for why the Exodus took place. Abby? So, Moses goes to Egypt to meet Israel. Moses is now reminding them and telling them why he came. That's what battered the book of Genesis. So, the book of Genesis is built on the event of Exodus. That means when you see a teaching in Genesis, Moses is reminding the people because they have been baptized in idol worship for 400 years. You have to tell them again. You have to remind them of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You have to remind them. And by then you read the book of Genesis, you observe that the entire book, 50 chapters, the book was actually the book about Abraham. Well, by then you read Genesis 1 and 2, the garden, are we together? Then 3, the sin of man, right? By 4, you now see Adam begetting children. Cain, Genesis 5 is the genealogy. Genesis 6. You see supernatural beings. Genesis 7, 8, 9. By Genesis 10 and 11, you see the Tower of Babel that God was disrupted. Then in after Genesis 12, God called Abraham. Moses now discussed Abraham from Genesis 12 to Genesis 50. So the entire book was concerning Abraham. But why did God visit Abraham? He gave you the background. Humanity had gone into idol worship. Don't forget, Abraham himself came from idol worshiping environment. So the book of Genesis was to teach God's plan concerning Abraham. But you have to give a background as to why God will pick Abraham. It shows you the background in 10 and 11. The whole world has started worshiping idols. How did the whole world get into idol worship? It gives you the background of Genesis 5, 6, 7, 8. Supernatural being coming and leading man astray, and then the flood. And even after the flood, they still led man astray. How did supernatural beings come and lead man astray? In Genesis 3, Genesis 4. Are we together? What was the intention? Genesis 1, Genesis 2. So the entire Bible is built on Genesis chapter 1 and 2. If you miss Genesis chapter 1 and 2, you miss the entire thing the Bible says. It's even Genesis 1 and 2 that Jesus came to fulfill. Restore man into the image of God. That's why Jesus is called the seed of Abraham. That means there's something God started with Abraham, which is now finishing what? In Jesus. Do you get it? So the key to unlocking your Bible is Genesis 1, Genesis 2. That is the plan. So when Jesus was saying from the beginning it was not so, driving them to the intention is Genesis 1, 2. If you grab Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, you will know God's intention for the earth. Every other thing is derailing from that intention and how God keeps restoring man to that what? Intention. Do you get it? Do you get it? So look at this. Man is not on the list of what man will dominate over, but it's happening today, right? Right? Again, man is not meant to dominate, as in his genders, is not meant to dominate the woman. You also have some environment that are feminist, right? And the feminist ideology is dominating what? Man. So feminism is not God's plan. Are we together? That's not God's plan. Patriarchy is also not what? God's plan. Male and female created them to function in his what? Image. So Jesus uses that to fix the question on divorce. Are we together, church? Are we together? Uses that to fix the question on divorce. So quickly, what have we said? I need to start preparing to close. God therefore created man for relationship with him. If God created man to function as his image, that means man will be in relationship with God. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? If God created man so that man can function in his image, that means God created man to be in what? His right relationship with what? With him. That is why somebody came and said to Jesus, out of all the laws, the commandments of the law, which one is the what? Is the greatest. He says, loving the Lord thy God. Because that's the reason why you were created. You were created to know him, to love him, and to what? To serve him. So he says that is the greatest commandment of the law. Or that is the great commandment, the binding commandment, the binding, you know, the charter of the law, the binding truth of the law. He says to love the Lord thy God. So if God created man for the singular purpose of functioning as his image, it shows you and I that man was there created primarily to be in relationship with God. Because that is when man will be able to reflect him. Man will, in relationship with God, know God, and then what? Reflect him. Don't forget the man. Is it a person or a people? A people, right? So, humanity was created, are we together, to be built around God. To be built around God. So, look at the way God did it with Israel. When God brought Israel out, God now says, there will be tabernacle amongst you. Did you see that? A tabernacle amongst you. A tabernacle amongst you. Because it's a nation that will be built what? Around me. Is that what Jesus had done with the church? Is that what Jesus had done with the church?
Now, as we go and disciple all nations, will the earth eventually become that? Will be built around who? Around God. Will there be an image? An image? Will there be a singular image? But the whole earth will be built around who? Around God. Who will be the image? We will function as God's image to one another. It is collected in Christ, in the church. So, that chaos in humanity, that chaos of selfishness, that chaos of wickedness, evil, unrestrained forces of power, dominion, is collected in who? In Christ. Because you now discover that you are alive for the benefit of what? Another. The whole earth will now function that way as we teach. That is why the church must be the first place that is what? Mirrored. Did you see that? The church must be the first place where that is mirrored. So male and female, he created them in his image. So God created man for relationship with him. Relationship with him. Man was formed for relationship. Relationship with God. He will then function in that relationship, are we together? As God's image with other men. Or they will now function. Humanity was created, was formed for relationship with God. They will now function from that relationship. They will function as the image of God amongst what? One another. Does that make sense to you now? Does that make sense to you? So male and female. Then look at something in that Genesis 2. It now says in Genesis 2:18, it says, "And the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help. It says, meet for him. Fit for him." Now Genesis 2:18 refers to the man, the male, are we together, in the garden. Now look at this. It says, "And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, fowl, brought them down, and then brought it to Adam. Then Adam gave names." He says, "But for Adam there was not found an helpmate for him." 21. "And Lord caused the deep sleep." Can I say deep sleep again? So this is Moses' word, Moses' language. It can't be your own deep sleep in 2025. Alright. "So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. He took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh instead thereof." So we looked at the word ribs. Don't forget, a vision, right? A vision of what God did. So ribs, we saw the word ribs, the word telah, T-S-E-L-A in the Hebrew, telah. Let's look at how the word rib was used, lest you think it's this bone. It's not this bone, no. Are we together? Are we together? Exodus 25. The same Moses. How we use ribs. Exodus 25. Verse 12. It says, give me some time, 15 minutes. I'll close. It says, verse 12. Verse 12. You don't believe me, right? But you believe God in my life. All right. So he says in verse 12, he says, "And thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in the 4 corners thereof. And 2 rings shall be in one side of it, and 2 rings in the what? Other side of it." Now that word side is the word rib. Side is the word rib. It's like saying that you shall put 4 corners and 2 rings shall be in one rib. So rib, telah,
is used for the side of something. Pay attention. Notice that in Genesis, there is what is seen, which will be figurative if it's a vision. So what is the explanation? In that same verse 14, and thou shalt put the staff into the rings by the size of the ark. So rib is described as the side of the ark. The side of the ark. Okay? Look at chapter 26. I'm not saying some things because I've not taught it. It's fine. Chapter 26. This is the side of the ark. The ark. Alright? And that's the ark that Moses commanded them to build. The ark. Are we together? Alright? Now, in 26, Exodus 26, verse 20. It says, and the second side of the tabernacle on the north side shall be 20 boards. So, notice that when you are reading ribs, it is described as a building material of the temple. Rib is the building material, is a part. Is a part of the tabernacle. He says the ark. Here he says the tabernacle. Now, if you read that same Genesis, you observe that the ark that Noah was told to build was going to have doors by the side. You see, that same door by the side is the same thing that ribs refer to. Ribs refers to the side of the tabernacle. The side of a temple. So it's not your biological bone. Are we together? It refers to the side of the temple. So that means there is a temple project, a tabernacle project, or God is building a tabernacle, or God has a tabernacle. Are we together? Are we together? And then the side of the tabernacle is described as the rib. The rib. So if he says, look at some other text. In 26 verse 26, thou shalt make bars of sheeting wood, five for the boards of one side of the tabernacle. So rib is described as the side of the tabernacle. Verse 27 and verse 35. The same thing. He says, verse 35, thou shalt set the table without the veil, and the candlestick over against the table of the side of the tabernacle towards the south. So we see the tabernacle. And there's a reason why tabernacle is occurring again. Notice that, pay attention. Maybe I'll take some time to explain this more in another teaching. But notice that God's work on the earth is described as what? A tabernacle work. Throughout the scriptures. Throughout. In fact, when Jesus came, he said, upon this rock I will build my church. As though he's building. Are we together? In fact, another time, they saw a temple that has been built. And he says, destroy it, I will raise it up in 3 days. And he never built any temple. But his work in the resurrection is what? A building. So God's work on the earth throughout the entire scriptures is described as a work of what? A building. Acts 20, Paul will tell the guys, I commend you to the Lord and to his word of his grace, which is able to what? To build you up. In fact, even in 1 Corinthians, he said, he that prays and unknown talks builds himself. So God's work is a building. Don't forget, but God's building is humanity. And God will dwell in the temple. So God will dwell amongst humanity. Are we together? The work of God on the earth is that he is making the earth a place where he dwells. That's his work. That's his work. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul is teaching church at Corinth, he says, you are God's husbandry, you are God's building. Are we together? So, Jesus described God's work as building. Look at what Moses said. David said. David said in Psalm 27, except the Lord build a house. And he wasn't talking about any house. But he's talking about the way you live, the things you do. He said it's like building, and God is involved in the building. So if God is not building what you are building, he said it is in vain. So God's work on the earth is described as what? A building. It is not a physical building. Humanity is the one that is being what? Built, erected, established to accommodate him. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? Are we together, church? Look at what Paul said. Peter said about the church. Look at, hold your hands in those texts and go to 1 Peter 2 quickly. I want to close. 1 Peter 2. See, I am God's building. That's it. And you know, you are God's building. You are also a builder with God, right? Thank you. So you are both the building and the builder at the same time, because God will walk through you. First, with that true. What do you see in verse 3? We're reading verse 4 actually, but read verse 3. Want to go? First, with that. Some people are looking for first with that. Let's wait for them. Quickly. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, Peter, John, and Jude. So find it. Peter, Philemon, Hebrews, James, Peter, John, and Jude. Philemon, Hebrews, James, Peter, John, and Jude. Philemon, Hebrews, James, Peter, John, and Jude. Are we together? Have you found it? First Peter 2. Glory to God forevermore. I said glory to God forevermore. First Peter 2, verse 3, everybody. Once you go. Now read verse 4. To whom coming? Okay. Read verse 5 now. Verse 5. Now, don't forget that he is talking to who there? The OS or the church? He's referring to the OS or the church. So God's work on the earth is first of all fulfilled in the church. Did you see that? It will now go out to the world from the what? From the church. Don't joke with the church. Don't joke with it. Don't joke with the church. Don't joke with the church. The church might have its inadequacies. And the inadequacies are simple. It's because we are men. Is it clear? But don't be stupid. Don't be stupid. There is no safety anywhere in the world outside the church. Nowhere. That's why God is multiplying churches in the earth. And is making them strong. You are the one complaining. The manager of the church, Jesus Christ, is not complaining. He will fix it. He will fix the issues. Jesus will fix the issues across the different denominations. In our minds, we're like, me, I am this, me, I am that. I don't even like the way they do their service. Oh, imagine they are not me. I cannot be going to church without shoe. It is you that knows. Are you the one they are worshipping? Are we together? Let us all focus on building. And, you know, the primary way to disrupt what is being built is to run your mouth. Don't run your mouth against the church. Don't run your mouth against the church. God is building. I love a song by Pastor Chris. The Lord is building Jerusalem. The Lord is building Jerusalem. That's a beautiful song. That is what God is doing. That's why there is no perfect church in the world. There is no single perfect church. God is here to find one. And the moment you find a perfect church and you join, it becomes imperfect because you are not perfect. Are we together? Are we together? But look at this. We are going to trust in the Word of God. We are going to trust in the Spirit of God. And we will get better. We'll get better. That's why we must not try to make our services look like, you know, the world's meetings. We saw that 2,000-3,000 people attended, Davidos, whatever. How can we do our service? The light, Jinjin. You don't need the light, you need the power of the Holy Ghost. Is it clear? You don't need comedians and artists on the pulpit. You need the gifts of the Spirit. Go Shano. You need the gifts of the Spirit. Come on, Shano. Are we together? When the blind comes and they see. Physically blind. They bring somebody that is insane. You lay hands and collect the demon from him. That is the power. That is the church. The church is only deceiving themselves, trying to make themselves look like worldly organizations, thinking they will keep the people that way. You aren't going to keep the people that way. The people know what they need, and they know what you are giving them is not what they need. They will come around to be entertained, but their lives are not changed. But you must determine as a church that our church will be a strong local church, full of the word, full of the spirit. We are not going to sprinkle scriptures on people on Sunday morning because someone says the attention span of this generation is but this is a Gen Z. This is not Gen Z. You are a royal generation. You are not Gen Z. I'm a man in Christ. Are we together? He said, you know, this generation, attention span won't carry, and they are watching cinema movies. And the cinemas that are producing the movies are selling, they are not complaining. Season 1, season 2, season 3, season 4, season 5, season 6, season 11, season 91, season 5,000. Believer! Say, did you see what Arthur did in that day? When Marlene said, Esprit de tout, the baby just changed. Did you see Marlene's eyes? When he wants to do this, Marlene wants to do this prayer now. Anytime he wants to do this prayer, you see his eyes will change. Then we say, when Saul met Samuel, what was the prophecy? What did he say? You remember Esprit de tout that Marlene says, but you don't remember the words of the, you can't even quote the Ten Commandments. The one in the commandment say, I shall not. Is it I shall? He said, thou shalt not. He said, I shall not. We say it's open to 1 Corinthians. When it's open to 1 Corinthians. We said, let's open our Bibles to the book of Nahum. You say, you thought we're asking the question of Nahum. Oh, more Bible now. Are we together? I give my heart to building the church of God. That's what God is doing on the earth. I told you, God is not building more businesses. God will help Christians when they embark on natural things. Is it clear? But that is not what his mission on the earth is. God is not building more hospitals. God is not building more institutions. There's more than enough hands and minds on the earth to do it. And if you embark to do it, God will assist you. But there is what he himself is doing. Is building churches. There's never going to come a time that more churches will not be planted. You know, we don't complain when an hospital is being built around us. We don't complain. People don't complain. No. People don't complain when a new hospital is being built. A new school. Say, is that a square? That's beautiful. We need more schools. When somebody is building, when they are building beer parlor, nobody complains. Someone is starting a new business. Nobody's complaining. But the moment they are building another church, all the money that you need to build the church, can you not use it to build a hospital? Will we not save unemployment? Did your money lose? Was your own money stolen? Your own money, was it stolen? How many hospitals have you built? Leave those who build hospitals, let them build hospitals. And let more people build churches. We only trust God that there will be strong churches. Are we together? Are we together? That is what God is doing. In 2026 alone, more new churches will spring up. Churches will tito. Is it clear? Our desire is that there will be strong ones. Glory to God. Let me close here. So look at this. He says, you are God's building. So God's work on the earth is described as a temple work. A temple work. That's the description. It's like a temple work. He wants to make the whole earth. So he says, go and make disciples of all nations. So in his temple, there will be white people. There will be black people. Are we together? That is why a local church must be global in his mindset. There mustn't be any set of people, religion, race, that is not accepted. Are we together? There mustn't be any set of tribe, skin color, that is not accepted. all are welcome in his house. Is it clear? Look at what Jesus says. He says, as it's written, he says, my house shall be for all nations. A house of what? Of prayer. The word prayer there is the word worship. A house of worship. All nations. We open up our church. Is it clear, church? It's a building work. God is described as a builder. A builder. That is why he oftentimes gave instructions for people to build. 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 He told Noah, he says to build. Later on, not in this study, in another study, we're going to look at the Ark of Noah. Did you know that the Ark never sailed? The Ark never sailed. You were the one that thought it sailed. You read it in your mind. The Ark didn't sail. Because what God told him to build was the similitudes of a temple. He now says the creatures there will be male and female. He was teaching Noah that man and woman are equal parts of my temple. Male and female. You see also the Tower of Babel. It was a building. Notice God didn't force the building. God only forced the purpose of the building. He didn't force the building because his work is building. But he says these ones, they are building for idols. He said no. He says no. God's work on the earth is a what? Is a building. And he's building humanity. He's building humanity. So look at this. He says, Selah, which is the site of the temple. I'll give you some more text. Go read at home. I'll close here. In Exodus 27 also. Just few. But you can use your concordances and just browse the word rib from Genesis. You click on it in your concordance. You see Selah. Then look for Selah throughout the Old Testament books. You see how it was used. It wasn't used for this biological rib. No. In verse chapter 30 verse 4, Exodus 30 verse 4, Exodus 36 verse 32, Exodus 38 verse 7. In Ezekiel 41, it was used for a mountain, the side of a mountain. Ezekiel 41 verse 5, verse 6, verse 7, verse 8, verse 9, verse 11 and verse 26. 2 Samuel 16 verse 13, the side. Job chapter 18 verse 12, the side. It is used for the site of a temple. So God is saying, in my work on the earth, my temple, which is humanity, my temple, which is humanity, will have what? Two sides. What are the two sides? Male and female. Male and female. That is why God never used men in the scriptures more than he used women. No, he did not. You know, today you are the ones that are saying, how can a woman be a pastor of a church? Who are you? You are so proud. How dare you say that? Who is an apostle? An apostle is somebody that is sent with a message to take to a people. That's an apostle. When Jesus rose from the dead, he called a woman. He now sent the woman to take the message of his resurrection to his apostles. A woman was an apostle to the apostles. In the entire Bible, the first person to teach the word of God was a woman. Eve. Are we together, church? Are we together? So in our walk with God, the woman is not inferior. Is it clear? We trust God for more women pastors. Women leaders. But who are full of the word of God and full of the spirit of God. And they walk in love. And they build relationships. And they understand that they are actually builders and not the destroyers. Glory to God forevermore. So as I close, man was formed for relationships. We'll continue in the story in our next meeting. Thursday evening, ensure you are there. He will function. He will function in his relationships out of his relationship with God. He will function in his relationships with others out of his relationship with God. So the first person that I'm supposed to be in relationship with is who? Is the Lord himself. Is it clear? Having been in relationship with the Lord, are we together? I will then function with other men. That way, I will be reflecting him. If you miss that equation, you will act less than man. You will act lesser than God's plan for man. So the woman was taken from the same side. Are we together? Are we together? Of humanity. To show you that the woman in the temple of God, the woman is of the same material with man in that temple. One, two, in that temple, the woman has the same function with man in the temple. In the temple. In the plan of God. That is why society has relegated the women to childbearing. That's an abuse. That's an abuse. It's an abuse. You see some guys, you see some people, when they look at the woman, they just think it's just a tool for sex. That is madness. That man or brother is thinking less than humanity. If that's the way you see women, that's the way you see a woman, just to take care of children or just to give birth to children, you are thinking less than a human being should think. According to God's plan, there is a greater purpose. Is it clear? In our relating one another, yes, for procreation, are we together? And because of biology combination that God had given to the woman, she's able to do some things more than the man. She's able to house the child. There's this connection. She's able to care. She's able to do this. And that's fine. But there's a greater purpose. Is it clear? There's a greater purpose. There's a greater purpose. And we are functioning in it. Male and female are therefore the signs of God's temple. Play for me. So there is no distinction in genders when it comes to God's plan. The distinction in genders is as we relate with what? One another. But the distinction in genders is not in God's plan. It's not in God's plan. It's not in God's plan. So Paul will say in Galatians, in Christ there's neither male nor what? Female. He's not saying that there's no male believer or female believer. He says that is not a dichotomy in Christ. In the plan of God, in the temple, that is not a dichotomy. Are we together, church? A woman, a man, none is lesser. None is lesser than the other. They are in the image of God. So Genesis 1:26, we fix relationships as we explore the image of God. Can we start our study now? Not today, I mean at this point. Alright. So we'll fix relationships. We will fix relationships from God's word. Are we together, church? Later on, I'm going to show you how that Jesus Christ is also described as the image of God and the man in him. The man in him is described as the image of God. Colossians 1:18. He calls him the image of God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, the express image of his person. Christ Jesus is that image and the man in him. So if you are born again, God has given you that foundation to function in his plan. Paul will say, there is no other foundation than any can lay than that of what? Jesus Christ. It's a foundation. God fixes the foundation that crumbled in humanity. He fixes it in Christ. So when a man comes into Christ, he's a new creation. Are we together? He can now function according to God's plan on the earth. And the light of our study, we're looking at relationships. That insight, that wisdom, that understanding will fix marital relationships. Because the man and the woman who are married will now see themselves. Yeah, someone say, this is my husband. Then the husband will say, this is my wife. But behind that identity of husband and wife, they will know that they are what? Brothers and sisters in Christ. The father will look at his daughter and see that this is a sister in Christ. Imagine fathers treating their daughters as a sister in Christ. Imagine mothers treating their sons as a brother in Christ. Did you see that? Imagine two siblings who are sisters first of all seeing that there's a foundation beneath us. I know she's my blood sister, but there's a foundation. This is actually a sister in the Lord. We will resolve more conflicts that way. We will love one another that way. Two brothers who are siblings. Yes, they are siblings, but they are born again. And then they say, this is actually, imagine an employer of an organization. And you have a Christian in the organization as an employee. Imagine you saw that person first as what? As a brother in Christ. Yes, I know there are SOPs, there are rules of engagement, there must be orderliness, there are standard procedures in organizations and all. But I mean, imagine that is at the root of our relationships. We will function more as the image of God. I'll close with this. The subject of the image of God does not refer to you alone. The image of God refers to the person by your side. Is it clear? You are the image of God. I am the image of God. Maybe on Sunday or Thursday, I'll talk about the challenge of some people's Christianity, the challenge of individualistic Christianity. We will look at it on Thursday. Individualistic Christianity. Individual. We even sang it this morning. I am the reason why you came. No, you are not the reason why you came. We are the reason why he came. We are we together? So in my walk with God, people, others are not excluded. Is it clear? I opened up the sermon this morning on the subject of conversations. This week and in the coming weeks, even as we close the year, we will pay attention to conversations. Don't get involved in conversations that ruins people's lives or relationships or reputations. Don't get involved. Don't get involved in conversations that can derail people from walking in God's plan. What they have persuaded is God's plan for their life. Are we together? But I also see the hand of God stirring up conversations. Are we together? I see relationships being restored through conversations. Healthy ones. We're also going to see later on Thursday or maybe on Sunday. Who can we be in relationship with? Who can we be in relationship with? Because we're going to see a vital fact that when God created man, he didn't put man on the earth blanket. He put man in the garden. He now told him to spread the garden. And if the garden is God's plan, it means you can't get into relationship with everybody at the same time. Cannot. So whatever we are saying does not put a blanket on getting into relationship with people without caution. Are we together? Jesus also said in his words concerning that brother, he says, if he doesn't listen to you, doesn't listen to the church, he said, treat him as a publican. So there's also discernment in our relationships. But look at it. This month, November, the month of December, and in the new year, I see supernatural conversations. Supernatural conversations. I see God using you to start up conversations. Your conversations will start up holy fire in people's hearts. And in hearts that the flames of God's work has gone out or is dying, you will kindle it again through conversations. Yep. I see a walking of God's will amongst us that is leading us in the path of conversations. Healthy conversations. Godly conversations. Spiritual conversations. Strengthening conversations. Conversations that will lead to the furtherance of God's plans and purposes for our lives. And we are open. Are we open? Don't forget, we'll also take initiatives. I'll talk about that next week. Initiatives to start the conversation. Initiatives. Initiatives. Are we together? Initiatives to start the conversation. Start the conversation. Initiatives. Start the conversation. You call the relationship what it is. Are we together? Notice, Adam had to call that relationship, that woman what it is. You call the relationship what it is. Call it what it is. Call it. Means you initiate things. Are we together? And we trust God for his holy hand as we walk through our relationships. Just give God praise this morning. Just give him praise this morning. Regarding your relationships. Give him praise this morning. Give him praise. Lord, we thank you.